The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to My Two Cents. My name is Marianne Stanley, and I invite you to look at some of today's most pressing issues through an entirely different lens than that used by the corporate-owned media. Our focus will be on old-time journalism. In other words, on getting to the truth by referencing facts and sources. Stay tuned and see if you've had a hunger that nothing else could satisfy. Until now, that is. We've all heard the saying, accentuate the positive. Well, I'm going to fly in the face of that today, and I'm going to talk about what's wrong with America. What is wrong with the United States right now? What is our list that needs to be addressed in order for us to be a great nation once again? And I believe wholeheartedly, as a veteran, as a person who grew up in this country and loves what it stands for, that we were once a great nation, that we aspired to high ideals, that we aspired to greatness and to being the beacon in the world. But we have slithered so far down the slope that we are unrecognizable, not only to other nations who are more and more resenting us and resenting our presence, as has been made obvious by recent reports on the news where supposed friends of ours in the military in Afghanistan have turned on us. Do they have a reason to? Depends, I guess, on how you want to look at all of this. From my perspective now, if we had Afghanistan in our country, unbidden, I think that we would be doing everything we could to attack the soldiers they sent here, or Iraqis, if they came to our country. Countries want to rule themselves. They do not want us there. We should not be there. We should respect other nations. And you know, maybe that's the whole issue, isn't it? Respect. We don't seem to respect each other anymore. We don't respect other nations anymore. We don't respect the rule of law anymore. And that's got to end. I was sitting and thinking the other day, you know, I grew up here. I loved the memories I have of my childhood. It was a time when more and more small businesses were flourishing. They were in the neighborhoods. The schools were in the neighborhoods. The grocery stores were in the neighborhoods. The churches were in the neighborhoods. It was a time when you could have a dream, and you could pretty much count on having a pretty good shot at that dream coming true. People talk about the American dream, which was always to do well enough that you could own your own home. And what have we been watching these last few years? We have been watching millions, not thousands or tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands, millions of people lose their most treasured asset, their homes, to foreclosure through no fault of their own. Not because they overreached, but because their jobs were taken away from them. They were laid off. They've lost their retirement benefits. They don't have an income. And so their homes went, and they are quietly, silently ignored. They don't exist the same way we shut away our elders in nursing homes, or we shut away the people who have mental health problems. We don't see them, so they don't exist. The way we don't put the Afghanistan war on the news at night, if we don't see it, it doesn't exist. We don't have to squirm or be uncomfortable. But it's a crime that we have millions of people in this country who are now without their homes because we have government policies that have seen fit to trade the well-being of the majority of Americans for the profits of the few. That is not a trade-off at all. That's a catastrophe. So I want today to just kind of list some of the things that are wrong with this country. And at a later date, if I hear back from any of you and you express an interest in one thing or another, I'll delve into it more. But I got to thinking, my God, everything seems to be upside down and backwards and inside out these days. What is going on? It isn't just one little thing anymore we need to address. We can barely spin around in place as fast as we can and address all the incoming injustices coming our way in government. We have lost a government that is by and for the people. We have a government that is by and for the wealthy and powerful. That leaves us, eating their dust. We are being bled dry by entities that couldn't care less about what becomes of any of us, about the children and the grandchildren to come in the United States of America. So here's my list. Here we go. What's wrong with this country? Our class divide is growing. It is becoming huge between the haves and the have-nots. The uber-wealthy are paying no taxes, for instance. General Electric, even though it's made billions in profit, paid zero taxes for years on end. If they would pay even 10%, which is way under the 33% most of us pay, we wouldn't have a problem with our schools, with our roads. We wouldn't have any problem with fully funding Social Security, Medicare, health care for everybody. The federal government has quit providing money to cities and states as they used to in the form of block grants so that the cities and states can continue to provide services for their citizens, so that the cities and states can grow economically to give people jobs within the community. That has all been abandoned. It used to be that federal mandates had to be fully funded by the federal government. They have begun to ignore that. It used to be that companies had to fund pensions. It was a contract, and contract law underlies our government, underlies our society, but they have totally gutted that too, and people no longer can get their pensions. We limit voting rights. They are being more and more limited. They are being asked to provide picture IDs when there is no reason to do this. We don't have a problem with too many people voting in our country. In Australia, there's a penalty if everyone doesn't vote. Here, we are trying to keep people from the polls. We hear the word voter fraud to the point where we believe it, and yet it has been shown through independent studies that we do not have voter fraud here. It's 0.2%. We don't provide health care. We are the only country of all industrialized nations that don't provide it. And what do? We try to raise alarm in our people by calling it socialism. Yet we don't call fire departments, police departments, post office, the utility companies, and the public schools. We don't call that socialism. All of that, providing for the well-being of all citizens, takes the form of a massive government assistance, because federal government is needed. Federal government can provide for things that a state or a local government cannot provide for. Federal government oversees interstate commerce, for instance, because an individual state can't do that. So we have totally created these words that have become negative words when they're not negative at all. Christ was the first socialist. He didn't say, get all the money you can. Don't help that guy lying by the side of the road. He said, leave your money. Leave your home. Come follow me. And what he showed was compassion and caring for everybody. A lack of judgment, a lack of finger pointing, a lack of prejudice, bias, disrespect. And what he showed was the inherent dignity that each person needs to be accorded. And that's what we should be doing today. Which brings me to another point. We need to keep religion out of government. Trying to put religious values and religious beliefs into government law is totally wrong-minded. We don't need any one religion trying to push itself down our throats. I can say that as a person raised as a Christian, that it is wrong for people who follow the Bible, follow Christianity, to say, you cannot get an abortion, you cannot use birth control, or whatever else they happen to believe. That is not any of their business. They need to butt out and take care of their own salvation of their souls and get out of the saving of other souls. That is not their business. I like to go back to the vision of Christ. When I used to teach, and I would say, you know, I don't remember Christ going door to door knocking and say, come out here, I'm here to save your soul. All of the stories about Jesus Christ in the Bible, this isn't supposed to be a religious conversation I'm having here with you, but for those who believe in Jesus Christ, his was a mission to present things to people who wanted to listen to him, not to push anyone, not to shove things down people's throats, not to knock on their door, force his way into their homes, leave them pamphlets to read. That was never the demeanor. It was supposed to be respect and appreciation and love of each other. And that was the whole message. So I have a great deal of problem with watching how we're talking, even to talk religion in government is wrong. We don't want to, I'm seeing it on sports networks. I see it almost everywhere anymore where people say, I just want to thank Jesus, the Lord, my Savior. And it's like, give me a break. Please give me a break. I don't want to hear your personal religious beliefs. I don't want to hear about your personal sex life. Okay? Religion, sex, money, private. They're private. And I've always believed, just like they used to tell us in high school about the boys who talked sex were the ones that weren't doing it or having it. People who talk religion aren't the ones who are living it. You don't have to talk it. All you have to do is model right thinking, right living, goodness. That's religion. That's spirituality. So the fact that we've, you know, God bless the United States of America. Screw that. God will bless whoever he wants to bless. And for us to say it is pandering to people. It's trying to make us appear better than we are. It's trying to, what? What are we doing? Why are we saying God bless America? Does the president of every country say, God bless whatever country I live in? What's the point? It's the same thing with flag waving. I don't have to hang a flag out front to be patriotic. I don't have to brag about being patriotic to be patriotic. We look at so many of these superficial things as important when what they tell me, at least, as a thinking individual, is that these are people who are trying to assert their superiority over every other schmuck that they think doesn't share their beliefs. And that is anything but Christian. That is anything but respectful. That is anything but patriotic. Patriotism supports the way a country's ideals were put in place, what the country was supposed to be, how it is supposed to conduct itself. I am unpatriotic if I support a country that is invading other countries without reason and sending its own youth to their death or to destruction. What in the world is patriotic by my saying, oh, they're all heroes, when they're not, of course. They're heroes. They're protecting my rights when they're not. No one was attacking our rights. They don't have to be over there destroying the homes and lives of people in other nations who have a right to their own homes and their own integrity of their own families. So we have bought into the words that are being churned out and pounded into our psyches daily, but they're not true. And they just make us less than what we should be. We're losing our privacy. We've become a surveillance state. The Patriot Act is still in place when it is not needed, and it just shuts us down and makes us less of a free nation. We have lost our First Amendment rights, all of them. The freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. We can't get out and protest anymore without being arrested. What is that all about? Now, we don't even have to be charged with a crime. To be imprisoned indefinitely, indefinite detention now, is allowed under American law. By decree? That isn't a democracy. We've lost our democracy. And we've been so busy fighting each other because of the sound bites and the echo chamber from the far-right pundits. They've created this divide that makes people work against each other instead of uniting behind the cause of reassessing who we are and where we're going and reaffirming the kind of nation we were born to be back in the 1700s. We have a supposedly volunteer army that isn't. People don't go in because they really want to go. Most people that go in, at least, go in because there are no jobs. Why? Because we've deregulated a lot of industry and because we've allowed corporations to send jobs overseas, depriving us of the underpinnings of the middle class, the underpinnings of a thriving economy. So we have desperate people and desperate times. So the kids are going into the military. But that doesn't mean they want to be cannon fodder. That doesn't mean they want to be shot at and shattered psychologically forever because some fat cats in Washington who have never served the military a day in their lives can smirk knowing that their friends, the people who provided funds for their campaigns, people who are the private contractors whose very existence depends on our ongoing, never-ending war that really isn't war, that doesn't need to be happening. These are the people who have sent our young men and women overseas, and then they're sending them over there with absolute lack of rational thought. They send them over for repeated tours. This has never been done before. It wasn't done back in Vietnam. You couldn't serve more than one tour unless you wanted to volunteer for just one more tour. to send them back over and over and over again is forcing them to be absolutely ruined psychologically, useless to their families, useless to society, miserable in themselves. And that's why our suicide rate among the military is so ungodly high. More kill themselves than are killed in the wars of Iraq and Afghanistan. That's never before happened. We need to look at our policies. We need to change what's going on in this country. We need to give a damn. We need to care. We need to say, mothers should not be torn from their children just because they're in the military. Let them stay in a place where they can come home to their kids after they've served their work that day for the military. Don't send them overseas for a year at a time. You can't talk family values and how we care about family values when you undermine the family at every turn, when you throw people in jail for minor drug offenses. You can't say you have family values. Minor drug offenses don't hurt anybody. It's just a way to fill the prisons, which are becoming privatized, which are filling the coffers, again, of private contractors, who are the people who are funding our politicians. We need to connect the dots. We need to say this is wrong. This isn't something that we can support anymore. We want it to be changed, and we're demanding that it be changed. We're watching the erosion of women's rights. We see that they demonize the word socialism. The government is going along with the privatization of prisons, of our schools. They're trying to privatize the post office. When we say that government can't run the post office, again, this is the echo chamber crap. It's not true. They have mandated now that the post office fully fund the next 10 years of retirement pensions for all of its workers. That's not demanded of anyone else, and that's why the post office looks bad right now. They are fine if you would get rid of that ridiculous mandate, but they are trying to bring them down so that private contractors can step in and get the profit. And once the profit motive's in place, we all lose. Tying religion to government is absurd. Trying to fund more offshore drilling, the fracking for natural gas deposits, saying that we're going to be energy independent at a time when we are in severe climate change, and it's only going to get worse, more violent, more severe, affect us all. We won't have clean water to drink, clean air to breathe, and we buy into this crap because we have been taught to ignore the warnings as though they're the rantings of a madman. We've been gutting the Environmental Protection Agency, not allowing them to do their job to protect our lungs. We have more asthma in this country than ever. More children have lung diseases than ever. We have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, that is growing exponentially because our air is filthy from these old power plants. We need to move to green energy, to wind, to solar. We need to take our most brilliant, most committed minds to finding ways to prepare us for the horrible shifts in the environment that are coming as the ice sheets continue to melt, the glaciers continue to melt, the oceans continue to warm. The United States continues to suffer from drought. And we see these serious swings in weather. We could go on and on. There are so many things that need to be addressed. And I don't mean to be a naysayer or to be talking about some doomsday scenario. But it's only when we all get together and we join hands and we join hearts and we say, we can make this better. We can address these problems. Together we can make a change. That's where hope lies. And without hope, we have nothing. We have hope now. Why don't we grab hold of that and grab hold of each other and say, we're going to go forward. We're going to do community gardens. We're going to eat healthier foods and stay away from these genetically engineered things that are being foisted on us, that are creating mayhem with our organs and mayhem with our health. We have the power once we're fully awake. So this whole segment today is just about opening our eyes, how we have been blinded. If you only watch Fox, stop it. Please stop it. You need to expose yourself to the actual news, not to propaganda. Fox is so not news that Canada will not even allow them to have network space in their country. They contort the news, they change it, they doctor it. It is not true. Not that everything they say is a lie, but so much of it is twisted and spun because it is corporate owned by Murdoch, the man who basically owns the media of the world. We need to not be afraid to see that. It doesn't make anybody bad that doesn't watch Fox. We're not enemies of each other. We really all are going to benefit by the same policies unless you're in the upper 1 or 2% of people on this planet. So if you're not there and you know who you are, think about these things. Educate yourself. Broaden your scope. Look up Alternet, A-L-T-E-R-N-E-T. Look up Alternet for news that is independent. It's an online news source. Or you can check out reader-supported news, or you can check out Consortium. There are various independent news sites that are not funded by any corporate entity with a private interest. That's the key. You don't want to source your news from places that have their own agenda that will be served by them force-feeding you garbage. That garbage is going to make you sick ultimately. It's certainly making society sick in the interim. I think we can do better. I know we can do better. But first we have to befriend each other again and stop this polarity that has been foisted upon us by a rabid right-wing agenda to make us all enemies so that they can carry out their own plans without any interference from the rest of us. So that's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Your feedback is always welcome. Just email us at shout@theflypod.com. Until next time, this has been My Two Cents with Marianne Stanley.